Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Before we introduce our great guest for today, I wanted to make you aware of an upcoming event that you'll want to add to your calendar. We hear so much about unfilled positions and talent shortages in the cybersecurity industry. Our sponsor, Jacobs Engineering, is having a hiring event on November 21st, 2019. To showcase a long list of open positions in some of the top cyber agencies. If you're new to the industry or just interested in maybe making a transition and seeing what's out there, you don't want to miss this event, November 21st, 2019. For more details, look at our site, newcyberfrontier.com. Now let's join the conversation with our great guest for today.
So, well, first of all, thanks very much for having us. The way I came to password security was originally a personal problem. I have been struggling with my passwords for years, and I have a math background, but I haven't worked in cybersecurity before actually founding Mycena. And what happened is that I was after struggling with for years with the problem. I looked at every solution on the market, and none was satisfying, actually, for the simple reason that all of the alternatives to actually Excel, pens and paper, post-it, trying to remember your passwords, was that they were all offering a solution that was centralizing all of my passwords with other people's. Obviously, creating a hub of passwords creates a honeypot for hackers. So there was no way in the world I was going to put my passwords in a solution like that. And one day I was walking in the ruins of Mycena. So it's an ancient Greek city on the Peloponnese, which is about 5,000 years old. At the time, the Mycenaeans had actually safeguarded the city with three levels of security. So when you enter the city, now it's a ruin, you cross the Lion's Gate. You enter the city, and after the second gate, you access the garrison, and after the third gate, you access the king's palace. So, having had a math background, I keep on thinking about algorithm and patterns. I was like, this is actually a really good, it could be very applicable to my password security, and how would I actually use that to keep my passwords under three levels of security locally on my device. And that's how the idea began, and I started creating the product, which has become a mobile application, which has been downloaded thousands of times. And now we actually bring the solution to enterprises with an easy to use and manage dashboard, so that the whole company can use strong, unique passwords. Every employee can actually keep them securely in their pocket under three levels of security. So that's in a nutshell the story.
I loved your take on an ancient city and thinking about the physical, what people already know how to do in the physical world, but adopting it to something that makes sense for us. And so often that's what we don't do in cybersecurity. We think, oh, this is a brand new thing. We have to create an entirely new thought process, new solutions, new everything. When sometimes, we've solved these problems years ago.
Thousands of years ago.
But we can't learn from our past because we view this as a different animal, right?
Yeah. But actually, when you decompose the problem into its big chunks, its elements, so it becomes a mathematical problem. Mathematical problems have been solved in the past many times over with different applications. So if you start looking, extract the problem from its noise, you can actually see much clearer what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, interesting. Let's take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today we're on with two people from MySia. We have Julia O'Toole and Rodrigo Martinelli. And we heard from Julia before the break. Now, Rodrigo, give us a little bit about yourself. You know, how do you come to working in this area, and what's your background?
Thank you, Chris. And I've built my whole career in the corporate world. I've worked with HP for 18 years, and since 2017, I've been doing my own things. And and one of the things that was a big focus for me was to help companies to really explode and expand globally. And when I crossed paths with Julia, I thought that everything that she has been doing the last few years is basically amazing. And there's like a lot of potential. Number one, because the technology is really impressive. And number two, because as just she said, we are using, an ancient way to solve a big modern problem, mm-hmm. that is like inside cybersecurity. So it is our front doors. It is passwords. Right. So I got very excited. And then we talked about how we could collaborate. And here I am helping her to develop, and make this this solution to be present in the many corporations as we can. So I think there is there are some solutions in the marketplace, but there's nothing like MySina. And the way that it works is quite impressive.
Interesting. Yeah. So I'm going to take this conversation a little bit different direction, and bear with me, because I know a lot of people have been trying to look at the password issue. And I'm sure you have a great solution for passwords. But what we want to know is going through the startup process and a cybersecurity startup. Let's talk about that, because that's the realm of, what can we add value to our listeners? You guys are in the heat of this trenches and in a startup. Let's talk about your experience here. How long have you been doing this? And, for the company, for MySina, what stage are you in with the company?
So we started the project in 2016. So that was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. We launched a few versions of the product, to test the market, test the product. And after many iterations, we actually commercially launched it last April. And that's when we started doing B2C. The problem with B2C is it's very expensive. And we learned that it was going to take a lot of money to go through if we wanted to achieve dominance. There's a lot of money being poured in by VC into cybersecurity companies. And the VC story is another story, and we're not going to go into it. But to really be able to fight the battle and be known, we needed to have a different strategy. And so I was looking at how we could actually enter the enterprise market, because I, talking to many CISOs, many people in the industry, being probably as knowledgeable as anyone in the world now about password security, I knew that we had a solution that could actually solve the 80% problem, which is over 80% of the cybersecurity breaches start with passwords, and how we could actually bring it to government, to all the institutions which govern our public safety, so including energy, telecoms, infrastructure, banking, and so on. and so finding a smart way to actually do it. So when I crossed paths with Rodrigo, you know, obviously he had a very impressive career at HP. He understands how to sell the product to the people who really need it, and how we could actually make this a solution that is viable for corporates, for enterprises. You know, we started working together on drafting a strategy, and, you know, going after really where we think our product can have the most leverage.
Okay. So if you had to look back at the very beginning, I mean, we started out with the idea. We walked into an agent city and somebody else has an idea, and they're at that startup phase that they realize, hey, even something as out there as passwords, everybody's using them. We just have something different that we're going to offer. What's the first step you went through? And did you immediately start coding software? Did you go out and say, well, I need to get some funding, I need to find an angel? What was your first steps in the process there?
Well, for us, it was a bit different because we had previously sold a company, so we didn't really need to find external funding. The first thing I want to know when I have an idea is actually get my hands dirty and get something built, so that I know it works. You know, there's no point selling something that eventually will fail, because you end up spending a lot of energy trying to prop a bad product. So first of all, we needed to make sure the product was as good as we thought it could be. That's what we spent time doing. And my take is that too many times people don't really test the ideas early enough before spending time and energy pursuing the more commercial side. It may go counterintuitive or counter to what a lot of people advise startups to do. I would say that one of the best advantages that we have matured the solution much more than if we had just started to sell to everyone in stock just to be able to make a point that there was a commercial value in it.
Okay. Did you do mathematical testing? Did you actually write code and say, we're going to implement and look where we actually have it running? What was your initial approach to doing that testing?
Well, the initial approach was just to go and build the product. Okay. Build the software, build the application.
And your background is in software development?
No. I do all the algorithm, I do all the mathematical side, but we actually have a team of 15 developers working on this.
Okay. And that initial, it didn't start with, okay, I'm going to pay for 15 developers out of pocket. This is where you're at now. But back then when you started the development, was it a couple volunteers in a basement? What did it look like?
A few people, I'd say, a few people that you work with. And so you have to work very tightly on what you want to make the product. You know, you want to work on an agile method. You want to do a lot of testing. Originally, we didn't have the UX, so you have to create the UX. You have to create the brand identity. You have to create the whole universe around the product. There's it's creating an application. I mean, everybody may not have the same pursuit or vision that we have. We wanted to create something that would become a brand, and so that requires a lot of in-depth thinking about what the brand means, what it will do, what's the mission, and clearly, from the get-go, we wanted to make our mission to bring password security to everyone, and that requires much more than just building a product.
Gotcha. And at some point, you go from that product to farming, finding the first customer, getting the first funding. Tell us about that progression in your company's timeline.
So at the beginning, as I said, because it was a problem that I solved for myself, I thought that going B2C was going to be the way to go. When I started digging deeper into the cybersecurity world and really seeing all the leaks in the biggest companies in the world, in governments, and I started talking to people in the industry and knowing how people in the security industry deal with passwords, how risky it is, I started feeling the responsibility, actually. I wasn't sleeping very well at night. I mean, I still don't sleep very well at night knowing how people actually do security, because we are very dependent on people who actually don't do it really well. And that prompted me to really change strategy and say, you know, I can't just hope to make it a consumer brand going after each individual. We actually need to go after the people who actually control the data, upon which we are dependent for our own safety. So I think it was a mix of because of the nature of the product and the mission that was built around the product. I felt that the urge to change the strategy and go for something much bolder and much bigger.
Yeah. Well, hold on a minute. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to our sponsors. We'll be right back. So welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today we're talking to Mycia, Yulia, and Rodrigo. And we were talking before the break about their path towards a new business model where it's going from business to consumer to business to business is your approach now. So that decision, that look at consumer markets, I've actually been in that space, so I understand that, cybersecurity doesn't have much of a consumer market. It is, get the companies to come on board. What, could you have identified that earlier? Would that have been helpful? What would you recommend the people coming into this looking at a new cybersecurity product when it comes to identifying your market? I think Rodrigo wants to take a stab at this one.
Yeah. So Chris, one important thing is a great test for to understand if a product is if a solution is really more consumer centric or business centric is what is in the top of your mind. Mm-hmm. So when you talk with because in the innovation cycle we have several stages, and the first stage is really rejection, right? So if I tell you, hey, you're gonna open an app and ask for a car, you're going to say, oh, I have the taxi. Why would I do that? And now we have Uber, we have Lyft, and then we go on, right? The very first test is what is in the top of your mind? And when you talk about, like passwords, you might say, hey, I have 2 or 3 passwords. I'm okay. You are not. Mm-hmm. But it's not the top of your mind for you to go ahead and download some app that will help you with that. So this is a great test. Every time that you are trying to launch a new product, you have to ask yourself, is this top of mind? Is this something very clear that I need? It is close to the base of the pyramid. That's kind of the question that you need to ask. Mm-hmm. If you think that, if this is not clear, maybe, other strategies will take place like the business to business. So one of the things that we did make here at Mycina is we shifted our strategy because of 2 reasons. Number one, the product is very mature, so we can leverage this maturity to enhance the product and make sure that this solution is very suitable for corporations. So we invested a lot in the console to making sure that whoever is managing will be able to do that. The second thing is basically we are putting the keys back to your pocket and not only in a single repository with everything. And that's another point when you look for corporations with all the bring your own device campaign, right? So those 2 actions, 2 angles made us take this decision. But sometimes, like I said, you can make these validation questions, these sanity check questions, and the answer might not be so clear. And you just need to test something. Right now, we have around 10,000 users using our B2C, version of Mycina, which validates the usage and the effectiveness of our product. But we are on a mission. We want to make sure everybody, doesn't matter if you are, in a consumer side or in a corporation, you are secure. So that's kind of what we are pursuing here. I hope this makes sense.
Yeah, just I'm looking for, okay, so if I said, what have been your biggest challenges in running this startup? Well, each of you, give me a couple that might be unique that you can recommend to somebody that's going through the startup process.
Yeah. So one of the challenges that we discovered talking to people in industry, especially the CISO, is that even though people who are working in the security department of the companies, they may not actually see password security as a prominent problem, and a lot of them would say to you, well, we have two-factor authentication, we have detection. But it's a bit like saying, well, it doesn't matter if my front door is not locked, because I actually have a camera and actually have the detection alarm that tells me when someone comes in. So mm-hmm. I found it quite surprising the level of the lack of understanding of the importance of password security for cybersecurity in general for the company. So when you look at the figures, actually, you've got over 80% of the breaches start with passwords, but password security only represents 0.5% of all cybersecurity spend. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge gap between the nature or the code and the biggest reason of breaches and how people actually perceive that problem and remediate it or try to remediate it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I mentioned early on about two-factor authentication is that if you have a weak password, the weak password counts for nothing. So you're actually down to one-factor authentication, and that authentication could, with a SIM swap or with an SMS intercept, can actually be breached, by which time someone can actually access your system. And we saw that with Reddit, we saw that with Citrix, we saw that with Dashdoor, recently. So it's not something that's unusual at all. And yet, a lot of CISO will still say that, well, you know, we've put two factors, which, by the way, is great. You know, we should put two factors, but it's just not enough.
Yeah, you know, I see that with, I talk to a lot of people with different new products in the industry. And identifying that your problem is the key problem that your customers should be solving oftentimes takes an education, let me explain why my problem is the problem you should be solving. And a lot of times I hear from companies and my brow goes down. I'm like, why is that a problem? Why are you solving that? And usually by the end of their explanation, I can get it. But at the same time, I would not have known as somebody, and I'm pretty versed in the industry and different pieces, what and why they think that's important. And a lot of times making that urgency that, hey, this is the problem I think is important, but why do my customers think that is important, is the biggest leap. And I totally understand that. So any other things, maybe Rodrigo, what do you think the biggest problem that you saw that running into in the process in terms of your startup?
So I think the biggest problem is that everybody wants, so there's like a lot of a vapor out there. You know, I've met startups with a slide deck that are able to raise millions of dollars, and they just create vapor. And there's like a lot of solutions and products out there that are really vapor. It's just like a beautiful shell, a beautiful GUI, but at the end of the day, you know, there is nothing out there. And in the market, because of all these shining objects that appears, you know, in front of you in these situations, they are like a train to make some questions that will likely, you know, put you in a good or in a bad position. One of the things that definitely shows up to us is, hey, how many clients you have? So mm-hmm. how many? Oh, you have just 10,000 users. That's not a lot. Because somebody else said that they have like 50,000 or 100,000 or a million users. But what is really the product? What is really the solution? How mature is the solution? What is the journey that you took until here? So those are, you know, the things that unfortunately I see the challenges in the startup world is, the market is reacting and creating concepts for something that, you know, it's really, you know, you shouldn't apply. It's not one size fits all. And I think, unfortunately, the the consequence of this is we are killing innovation. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of innovation out there that should be amazing if implemented, but the people that are investing, the people that has, you know, they have the baton, they are not putting together just because they want to see some number that they think will be important, but, you know, at the end of the day, it will not take anywhere. Okay. And the vice versa, right? So I think this is a brutal challenge. And lastly, just to make a comment, is the marketing, right? So marketing, the price to invest on marketing lately has increased like a times. Mm-hmm. Just because a lot of the startups get funding and they burn money doing stuff and take nowhere. So the price bar is, you know, pretty high right now. And that's a big challenge because sometimes you have something, but the cost to market, you know, is high. So you need to take like some very smart strategies to make it happen facing this, like I would say, industry trends in the startup world. Mm-hmm. I hope this makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you're here today, right? We have quite an audience here all over the world. And we hope to kind of get your name as well as, you know, some of the solutions around there. Rodrigo, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here as an industry person that has been looking at selecting a lot of products. I get so many products come through the door. We talk about vaporware, things that are, that I don't know who to trust. I don't know. You're telling me that passwords are the most important. I have two people came in last week that told me, to, you know, multi-factor is the most important. Somebody else says hardware storage is the most important for my passwords. Another person says I need to store it on a single sign-on type of a. And everybody tells me a different story. Who do I believe?
Well, I would say that each solution addresses an angle of your life, mm-hmm. right? So. You know, there are like a lot of, you have your very, you know, used, key to open your door. So what makes sense for you? It makes sense. You have like a Samsung, electronic door that you can open from your phone with a keypad, or it makes sense for you to have like just a key. So what makes sense for you? For me right now, it makes sense to have my old key. I'm fine. I'm in a safe area. But some people will say, no, I want to be up to speed, and I want to have like a full digital, you know, doorknob. I mean, it needs to be something that fits for your routine, for what you're looking for. If you want convenience, maybe the Seagull sign-on is a great one. Maybe the Cloud Password Manager is a great one. But if you don't care about the risks using that, that's fine. If you want to keep your keys with you, MySynX is the solution. If you want to keep on an Excel file under a five-level folder in your Dropbox account, you can do that. If you want to have a post-it on your monitor, you can do that. What makes you feel secure? That's the question. And once you answer the question, there are like some solutions that will address your question, your life. And I think that's kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. When I speak with CISOs, when you're talking about our partnership with them, we understand that, you know, our solution really brings like security. So for CISOs that really care for security, not only convenience, we have the solution. For those that want the different things, there are other solutions in the marketplace, and I'm not going to compare ourselves with them. But it is likely, you know, soft drinks. You go there and you see which one you want. I love Coke. If you like Mountain Dew or a Sierra Mist, it's your call, right? So I think that's it. That's the way that I see.
So what I heard is it's the right tool for the right job, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you start to ask a question, so who should I trust? Actually, what you say at the beginning of the interview was probably correct. Take what you do in the physical world, apply that logic to your online life. It's very similar, actually. So would you, in your physical life, put all your keys with millions of other people on the cloud somewhere. You know, maybe you will, I don't know, but I think a lot of people wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And what do people usually do? They keep their keys with them. And when they need it, they just open the door with the key that they have. It's just today we have hundreds of passwords that we need, and they should all be strong and unique. So, you can't really rely on your brain to remember all of them. So that's why you have solutions that are there to help you do what you should do normally in the physical world, but help you with the technology to actually do it in a similar way, but faster and easier.
All right. Well, thank you. And fair enough on that one. So in closing here, I wanted to give you opportunity to, who do you need to contact you? Who do you need to get a hold of? What kind of engagement do you need? How would people get a hold of you?
So we have our solution. We see two different public, right? So two different type of relationships that we want to have. Number one is we just launched a partnership program because we really believe that our solution, as we described to you, is enterprise grade and enterprise ready. So we want to partner with IT services, security companies that can resell our technology and leverage their consulting services on top to help with the policies. At the same time, we are targeting, enterprises because, we can provide what the CISOs need, so we can directly sell to them. But we think, like I said to you, we are on a mission to protect the front door, right? And doing that, there is nothing like creating value to other companies. So if you are a telco, if you are an insurance company, a credit card company, and you want to add some perks to your customers, this is the solution. You can bring extra value to your customers, provide something that we can even make a white label, like a Christopher powered by Mycena, Christopher Password Manager powered by Mycena. We can do that leveraging our technology that is pretty unique. So we are really looking forward to help corporations, individuals to protect their security, to protect their keys. That's why we are in this mission.
All right, and how would somebody contact you?
Okay, so we have our website, mycena.co, or you can email to info@mycena.co, and we can certainly put you together with one of our experts in your area to talk to you about your needs. So basically, that's kind of, and of course, you can reach out Julia on her LinkedIn and myself on my LinkedIn. So we are available to help and talk to whoever is interested to leverage our solution in your world.
All right. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for joining today. And I see it looks like it's getting dark wherever you're at there, Julia.
So, I'm in London.
London. All right. Well, you have a good evening and good night.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.